Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Let's get started with today's episode.
What a beautiful story this is. Some people regard the story of David and Goliath as their favorite David story. But this is my favorite David story. I believe that David is called the man after God's own heart. This was one of the main traits that he showed in this story that proved that he was indeed a man after God's own heart. This message today is partly a Thanksgiving message and also partly in the end a message that leads us into the Advent week. So we are planning on accomplishing two things in one message. But before we dive into our story, let us go into the backstory to the events that transpired before we come to our main story. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 18 to 21, we hear David's prayer. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. And this decree, sovereign Lord, is for a mere human. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, sovereign Lord, for the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant." David is sitting before the Lord and he is reflecting. He is reflecting on his physical blessings, what God has done for him. From being an obscure shepherd, unheralded, unknown, and despised, he is now a king of a mighty kingdom. He has killed wild animals. He has faced many enemies. And God had protected him. I like what Charles Swindoll says in his book. He says David was a nobody that nobody knew, until God intervened in his situation. Although at this point the Lord had done a lot of things in David's life, so much more was to come in the future according to this scripture. This was prophesied. This time of Thanksgiving is a time of sitting back and reflecting on what the Lord has done for us. As I was reflecting, I was thinking of some things. I know you were never teenagers at some point in your lives, and you never made any silly mistakes. But I was a teenager at some point, and I made some silly mistakes. And I remember as a teen, when the national soccer team would be playing in Zimbabwe, and we would go and get a ride to go to the stadium. Now, the problem with many third world countries, even some developed countries, if there is a big game, there are big traffic jams. So traffic would be slow and pathetic. And as teens, in our wisdom, would tell the driver to leave our lane and go into the opposite lane at high speed, and would sing praises for the driver, saying how smart he was driving at a great speed in the wrong lane. When I think about that, I still wonder, what happened? Divine intervention. Some of you, you have some other teen stupid stories that you can relate with. And you wonder why you didn't end up as a drug addict for the rest of your life. Had it not been for God intervening at the right time. So David is sitting down and he's thinking and he's saying, who am I, O God, that you would think of me, that you would fight for me? And the next verse that we didn't write, he bursts into praise and worship, singing of God's greatness. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come to worship him on Sunday mornings, when we reflect on what he has done, when we think on how big God is in our lives. You know, there is a story in the Bible. Jesus spoke to some disciples after they had run out of wine. Some brought 6 jars. What about if they had brought 50 jars? Was he not going to fill them? How big is your God? Is he only 6 jars big? But David knew the God that he was worshiping, and he goes and says, you are the God of heaven and earth. You are bigger than my thought. As the distance is between the heavens and the earth, so is the difference between your thoughts and my thoughts. For you are the maker of heaven and earth. That's why he was able to say, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Because he knew, he understood how big a God he served. Amen. For we serve a big God. And the Bible, and we Presbyterians, we believe that man was created to do what? Can somebody finish for me? Glorify God. Thank you. I had that. It simply means to bring to attention to God. When we are glorifying him, we are bringing attention to God. And that's exactly what David is doing here. He's bringing attention to God, glorifying him, magnifying him, lifting up his name. And this was for the sake of God's word and God's will. So during this time of Thanksgiving, sometimes let's reflect on the closed doors that we thought might open but didn't open. God closed them. And it was for our good. And then from chapter 7, we move on to chapter 8. We see the great victories that David triumphed over his enemies. He became a great military ruler, and he defeated all the armies around him. David understood that it was not by might nor by power that he had accomplished all these things, but it was by God's hand. And David celebrates the physical blessings that God had given him, as we should. Nobody ever wrote an application letter to be born in this hemisphere. You never applied to be an American. But thank God that you were born here. One time, Pastor Aaron says that we should look at what we have, what God has blessed us with, just to have our eyes opened. I've been to a country whereby you can't access 911. Thieves, they come to your house, you are on your own. But thank God that you are in a place whereby if you dial 911, those comforting blue lights show up at your house, at your residence, to give you help, be it the police or the ambulance. There are many places in this world that they don't have that luxury. And David was reflecting on the physical. We shall move from the physical to the spiritual. But for now, we are just looking at the physical things that God had done for him. Family, friends, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all those are blessings from God. And the Bible says, all good gifts come from above. We are blessed with good gifts. We are blessed with abundance. We are blessed with the goodness of God. Because goodness is one of God's characteristics. So David at this point had a big name, big kingdom. He had put down both internal and external opposition. Blessings demand a reaction from us. We are not just blessed and left blessed, but they demand a reaction from us. And we see mercy being displayed as a reaction of David's being blessed by God. He says, God has protected me. God has provided for me. I've got a good family. I'm at a good place in my life. And he remembers a covenant that he had made with Jonathan. Jonathan, who was Saul's son. And Saul was the arch enemy of David. And at this point in time, Saul had died and David had become king. But I see one of the greatest traits of a great statesman. He asks a question, and his question is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? What I would have expected from David was, is there anyone left of the house of Saul? Saul, who was my enemy, who wanted to kill me. If there is any remnant, if there is anyone left over from that family, I want to know where they are so that I can finish them off. Because they are a potential threat to my kingdom. They are my enemies. I'm going to vindicate myself. I'm going to exercise vengeance over them. But we see the greatest statesman here. He turns around and he says, from my enemy's house, is there any descendants left? I don't want to kill them. I don't want to punish them. But I want to show them kindness. Amen. I want to show them kindness. I'm not going to cut their throats off. And then he was told that there was a man called Ziba. And that man Ziba was a servant of Saul. And Ziba was summoned before David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he replied, at your service. The king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? Not to kill them, but to bless them. Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. Mephibosheth was crippled in both feet. The story goes like this, that after the war, and when Saul's people heard that Saul had been defeated, one of the maids picked up the baby when he was 5 years old and tried to carry him and run away with him. And accidentally she dropped him. Unfortunately, we didn't have the Shriners Hospital then that you could take somebody and they can do some corrective surgery. So as a result of the falling, the young man was crippled in both feet. And according to the Jewish society during that time, you were ostracized. If you were crippled, you were an outcast. And this young man, according to this scripture, he lived at a place called Lodibar. Ziba answered, he is at the house of Machiah, son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Lodibar, it means wasteland, desert, a place of barrenness. A place where nobody looked upon him, where nobody cared for him, a place where there was no hope. So King David had him brought from Lodibar, from the house of Machiah, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, at your service, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him. For indeed, this young man had every reason to be afraid. He thought he was going to be finished off just because of his lineage, just because of his heritage. He thought, surely this is the end. But David says, don't be afraid. And as we go on towards the coming of Christ, we are going to hear those words, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary." And the Lord echoes those same words throughout scriptures. For one of the weapons of the evil one is fear. That's why the Bible emphasizes in Isaiah 41 and says, "Fear not." Ladies and gentlemen, when we are in this kingdom, we should not be afraid. And David said, "Don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I'm going to do some things to you. I'm going to restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." So we see one of the biggest things happening. He is being summoned to eat at the king's table. According to the Middle East tradition, it was a great honor if you were invited to a house and you'd sit with them back then at their table and ate with them. It was a sign of honor. It was a sign of acceptance. Not only was it a sign of honor and acceptance, but it was also a sign of influence. When you sit at the king's table, you are not going to remain silent. You are going to participate in the conversation. There are some people that have made tons of money just because they've got an open door to the White House. You can earn money out of that. That's why we have a lot of people that have made money as lobbyists, because they've got access to influential people, access to influence the legislature. So take it a little bit higher. This guy was not just summoned to the king's table to eat leftovers, but he became an honorable man and a man of immense influence, coming from a place of barrenness, coming from a place of shame, coming from a place of lack, and now he is honored to sit at the king's table. Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." David did three things to Mephibosheth. He gave Mephibosheth the right to sit at the king's table, always. And that is symbolic. Not only did he give him the right to sit at the king's table, he restored all the land that belonged to Saul. And also the third thing, he provided Mephibosheth with many servants. And verse 13 it says, "And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table." And there is emphasis again. He was lame in both feet. So we see the physical blessings that David had and his reaction to being blessed. His question, "Who can I bless in ten that I've been blessed?" As you count your blessings this season, it is good to look around and see Who can I be a blessing to in 10? We have got an angel tree out there. We have got ministries that we support that are for Tulsa. And we have got your church here that you can intend and say, how can I bless my church this year, this end of year, that I've been blessed so much? After seeing what the Lord has done for me, after seeing the many blessings that the Lord has given me, who can I bless? Lord, open up my eyes to see who I can be a blessing to. Amen. I thought this was a good place to say amen. Good story, but it was a story that was looking into the future. As we are approaching Advent, this is not just a story between Mephibosheth and David, but it's a story that mirrors a greater than David who was going to come. It mirrors kindness that God was going to show to you and me. Because in the first verse it says, for the covenant that had been made, and God had made a covenant for the redemption of mankind. When you and I were wallowing in our sins in Lodibar, when we were lost, when we were without hope, when there were no solutions in our lives, we got some spiritual blessings. And I believe that this Thanksgiving, this is the most important, these are the most important things that we should be thankful for, the spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. Where Mephibosheth may have expected execution as a descendant of Saul, he receives grace. We all received God's grace. Romans 3:23 verse says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We were all supposed to face the death penalty. That was the payment for sin. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We were supposed to die because of our sins. Just like Mephibosheth, he was born in the lineage of Saul. He carried that death penalty before David. But Christ settled the debt for us on the cross. He paid for it in full. He was taken from that shameful place into the presence of a king. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel brings us good news that as many as received him, he gave them the power to be called the children of God. Even if we were far away, he called us. And we can come before God's presence as children. We received his grace. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And Titus 2:11 says, For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. So we were given grace that called us to come into the King's presence, that gave us the right to sit at the King's table. Not only were we given grace, but our sins were forgiven, for he paid the price in full. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Why? It's because our sins were forgiven. We are free. It was paid in full. And thirdly, we are justified in Christ. We are made, declared righteous before God. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, just like David rejoiced when he cried out in his heart and he said, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. After seeing what the Lord has done, we have a much better promise. We were given much better things than what David received. The grace, the forgiveness of sins, the justification. How much more should we approach his throne with praises and thanksgiving in our hearts? As the worship band sings here in front of us, how much more should we be rejoicing before the Lord? Because of his goodness and because of his mercy and because of his loving kindness. Because we serve a good God. David rejoiced at the physical blessings. And we saw the great mercy that was extended as a symbol of what we are beginning tomorrow, celebrating his coming, preparing for his coming. And when he came, he was loaded. He came as a baby in a manger, but he was loaded. Look at all the gifts that we received because he came. I'm glad he came. Aren't you glad that he came? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness this morning. We glorify you. We magnify your name. We thank you for all the spiritual blessings. We are thankful this morning, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty, matchless name. Amen.